Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Willie P is in the building on a Saturday afternoon, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and also RadioRadio.com. Ken Roundtree producing in our Atlanta studios. Hope you've enjoyed our stylings today. We'll get some more college football in coming up in 20 minutes. Mike Griffith of Dog Nation and the AJC. We'll talk about this big game between Georgia and Alabama. Second half action now going on in the noon window. It is all Clemson at Georgia Tech, 52-7 the lead there. It's 21-9 Miami leading Pittsburgh. Auburn and South Carolina have entered the second half, 16-14. Two picks for Bo Nix, 15 for 27 for him through the air, as Auburn tries to get themselves back in the win column after a close call last week against Arkansas. South Carolina looking for its second win, back-to-back wins for them after beating Vanderbilt last week. Kentucky, the shocker of the day, beating Tennessee 24-7. They've just added another one on a one-yard touchdown pass from Terry Wilson to Allen Daly Jr. Jarrett Garantano benched after throwing two interceptions. JT Shrout also threw a pick for Tennessee as they are getting walloped at home right now inside Neyland Stadium. Also later on today, North Carolina, Florida State, Boston College, Virginia Tech, A&M, Mississippi State. That's the 4 o'clock kick on ESPN. We'll get you more in what's going on as far as the college football day is concerned coming up here in what's happening. I did want to address a couple of texts from the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. From this in the 770, Georgia wants to be Alabama so bad, the desperation is pathetic, from someone on the text line. Look, imitation is the sincerest form of flattery. Georgia could find a lot worse models out there to emulate than Alabama. I think everybody in the world is trying to be Alabama right now. Heck, Clemson has basically vaulted to the ascendancy of all of college football by trying to emulate Alabama and doing so successfully by taking a guy who was an Alabama guy in Dabo Sweeney and actually recruiting like an SEC school in a conference that's not known for football. And I feel like there's nothing wrong with admitting that. So to sit here and say that Georgia wants to be Alabama so bad and that their desperation is pathetic, look, it's a model of consistency that's worked. They're probably the most consistent program, at least in the time that Nick Saban has been there. He's been there 13 years. No program has done more over that time span than Alabama has. So saying that they want to imitate Alabama and saying it like it's an insult, I feel like it's just a tad short-sighted to me, at least in my mind. Barrett asks about the situation involving Matt Ryan's cap number. I cannot get a clear answer on what exactly the cap hit would be if they traded him here after this season, or at least during this season, somewhere in the $20 million range. It's still too high a number for a team that is going to want to take on salary during the season. There are not a lot of teams that have $20 million of cap room just hanging around there. So as a result, the cap number that at least the Falcons would be saving in 2020 would not be that high. They'd only be saving about $1 million of cap money because they'd have to take on $17 million of dead money. And then, oh, by the way, the team that receives him has to take on that money as well. So, in a sense, Matt Ryan's still going to have to get his in terms of around the $63 million of money that he still owed from the Falcons. So if you do make that trade, there are penalties to come, not only this year, but also beyond. It is in that vein that we now sit here and tell you on this Saturday what's happening.
Peter,
what's
happening?
On Sports Radio 92.9, the game, it is the Braves and Dodgers coming up about 2.5 hours from right now. 4:38 first pitch. It's game 6 of the best of 7. Braves leading 3-2. They lose yesterday by a score of 7-3. It all went bad in the 6th inning for Atlanta. Will Smith, the pitcher, gives up a 3-run homer to Will Smith, the hitter. The first time in Major League history, at least in the postseason, that two members of opposing teams with the same name face each other. And the catcher gets the better of the pitcher. Here is Will Smith, the pitcher, talking about that at bat last night.
He's a good hitter. He's, you know, considered one of the best in the world, just like everybody in the lineup is. He put together a really good AB, took some really tough pitches, and then put a good swing on a pitch inside, and, you know, got the head to it and clipped me. You know,
it was a walk to Max Muncy that set up that unfortunate situation involving the retirement there of Will Smith there. Not retirement, but the home run from Will Smith off the other Will Smith. Again, 7-3 was the final yesterday. Today, it'll be Max Fried on the hill. Fried, the Braves ace, held back one extra day so that he can go on full rest today. A lot of Braves fans criticize the decision, but one thing that Brian Snicker is hoping for out of his left-hander is length.
Oh, he's full rest and be, should be ready to go. You know, hopefully he can go 7 innings tomorrow, 8 innings. That'd be great.
One thing that's, I know, a hard thing to admit for a lot of people is that the Braves have not found themselves in this situation in quite a while, playing kind of with house money in the game last night. That's why you went with the bullpen game and saved Fried for game 6. It also allows you the ability to start Ian Anderson on full rest if you so choose, if the series does go to a game 7 tomorrow. Of course, if it does, then you're dealing with an all-hands-on-deck situation regardless of who's involved. Braves and Dodgers, again, 4:38 is the start time on that one from the bubble in Arlington. Mentioned Georgia and Alabama. We'll talk about that coming up in just a second. But also, we've talked a lot about the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, the Falcons getting ready for Minnesota Vikings coming up tomorrow afternoon. 1 o'clock is kick time. We'll have the coverage beginning at 9 p.m. with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Myself and Hugh Douglas have that for you. Interim head coach of the Falcons, Raheem Morris, says the Vikings don't care about the fact that the Falcons sit at 0-5.
You know, it's a funny thing. Like, I talked about it with the guys early in the week. I told them the Vikings don't care what our situation is, and I really don't care what theirs are. You know, our job is to go out there and go 1-0, no matter who plays. If you start to worry about the things, the factors that don't matter, then they will matter, and we're going to eliminate the distractions that way.
Mentioned the situation involving the Matt Ryan cap. Before we hear him talk about the rebuild and the recap, let's talk about the cap number with our Ken Roundtree. You've looked up some numbers, sir.
Oh, yeah, so it'll have to be either a post-June 1st cut or a post-June 1st trade next year or in 2022. If you cut him post-June 1st next year, it's a $23 million hit, but you save $17.5 million. It goes down to $17 million hit post-June 1st cut in 2022. And then if you trade him next year post June 1st, you have a $17 million hit, so you save $23 million. And it's the same in 2022, it's still a $17 million hit. It really doesn't get down below $10 million until 2023. And those post June 1st trade or cut, it goes down to $8 million.
Mm-hmm. And again, post June 1 is a very, very hard thing to do in a trade situation because teams at that point are basically assuming that you're going to release the player at that point. So that's why post-June 1 trades are very rare in the National Football League. Regardless of what the situation might be during this offseason, Matt Ryan says they can't worry about that right now.
I can't worry about that yet. You know, it's not like we're making this transition and, you know, it's the end of December. You know, we're in the middle of October and we have 11 games in front of us. So worrying about those things is going to distract us from, as a player, is going to distract us from what we need to do. And that's prepare ourselves and get ready for the Minnesota Vikings this weekend, because I'm sure that they're not all that concerned with how we're going to rebuild or restructure our organization moving forward. You know, they're trying to get a win this Sunday. And so I really believe, you know, during times like this, and really, you know, as a professional athlete, you got to do a great job of compartmentalizing things and focusing on what's in front of you and keeping your focus very narrow. And that's the message I'm pushing to all of our guys.
Matt Ryan talking about the state of the franchise, if you will. 1 o'clock kick tomorrow inside Minnesota's brand new stadium, or at least semi-brand new stadium. Of course, they met last year to open the season in Minnesota, a 28-12 loss for the Falcons at the Vikings. That was part of the 1-7 start that kind of put us in a little bit of a trajectory that we're sitting in right now, unfortunately, for Atlanta. Georgia and Alabama hit the field tonight in Tuscaloosa, and Alabama will have Nick Saban on the sidelines. Found out earlier today that he tested negative for a third consecutive day, a PCR test for COVID-19 goes by the wayside for him. So encouraging news for the Crimson Tide, but regardless of that, Kirby Smart says, Saban or no Saban, this team needs no extra motivation to play the Crimson Tide.
All got recruited by Alabama. They know Alabama's players. They played in all-star games with Alabama's players. They all these kids know each other now. It's just so different that they don't necessarily see it by wins and losses and just championships. And you know, our guys have played LSU 2 years in a row. They played Alabama 2 years before that in a row. And there's enough of our players that have played Alabama two games that know it's a physical brand of football and it's a physical game, but. You know, we played them twice, and it wasn't like they didn't feel like they could beat them.
Auburn 19, South Carolina 14 is the score. That game is early part of the third quarter. Kentucky 24, Tennessee 7, late third quarter. Clemson all over Georgia Tech 52-7 is the way that the college football scoreboard looks currently. Atlanta United will play tomorrow evening 7:30 in Hartford, Connecticut against Toronto FC. Toronto having to play domestically here because of the immigration restrictions that are currently in place across the border in Canada. That is what's happening on the 17th day of October, 2020. 404-741-0929. Last chance to try and get yourself in on a Saturday, whether it's a call or a text on the Salmon Brothers Diamond text line. We'll take those here in our last 45 minutes here with you. Before we do that, we'll hear from Mike Griffith of Dog Nation. I know he's thinking that this game could be possibly inconsequential because of a rematch down the road. How does he feel about Georgia and Bama tonight under the lights at Bryant-Denny Stadium? We'll ask him that next. Willie P is in the building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hope you're enjoying yourself on this Saturday. Man who has become a semi-regular in our Saturday stable joins us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Number 2, Alabama. Number 3, Georgia. As the Bulldogs continue to play big statement games, we continue to have this guy on, Mike Griffith, who covers the Dogs for Dog Nation and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, joins us on the hotline. What's going on, Mike? How are you, sir?
Doing great, thanks.
So today, obviously, you have a clash of styles here. You've got Georgia's big defense against the high-powered Alabama offense, but they have not seen a defense even close to what Georgia brings to the table at any point in this season. How much do you think that this Georgia D will be able to slow down Bama's vaunted attack?
I do think they'll be able to slow them down. I don't know how much they need to slow them down. You know, as much as everybody focuses on this Alabama offense against the Georgia defense, and obviously those are marquee units, best in the country respectively on either side of the ball, I think the key is actually on the other side. And, you know, I guess we can break it down by elements. So do I think that Alabama will find some degree of balance and score? I do. I think Alabama will get in the 20s, and I think that that's with a game effort from the Georgia defense. The key is I don't think Alabama will turn the ball over. I like their quarterback a lot. I like what Matt can do. I think he's experienced. He's the highest-rated quarterback in the country. And I think they have probably the best run game that Georgia's going to see. So they'll be able to have the best degree of balance. How much, I don't know. but enough that I think they'll be able to sustain a couple or a few scoring drives.
What is the most glaring part about how different Alabama looks defensively compared to what we're used to seeing from the Crimson Tide?
Well, I think it has to do with how offenses are playing. They're very susceptible to tempo offenses and hurry up. And, you know, unfortunately for Georgia, Georgia doesn't have that right now. That's not what Stetson Bennett does. You know, what he does well, but that's not him. I mean, you know, he doesn't have the arm strength, I don't feel like, to take advantage of the deep third of the field where I believe that Alabama's the weakest. And Georgia doesn't play the tempo like Ole Miss. I don't know that anybody really does. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm not buying in that Alabama's as bad as they looked against Ole Miss.
So what you're telling me is Georgia can't do that this week is what you're telling me.
Yeah, no chance. No chance that they put 48 on the board, for sure. The question is, do they put enough on the board? And, you know, well, I think they'll have some offensive success. I'm concerned about turnovers. I feel like Georgia has been fortunate in some extent, in some circumstances, throwing the football. We've seen them put it on the turf with fumbles, bad snaps. There's been some inconsistency on that side of the ball, and it's a lot of young guys that are still coming together. And of the four units, I think the Georgia offense is the most questionable in the game.
Talking, of course, to Mike Griffith of Dog Nation, who covers the Georgia Bulldogs against Georgia and Alabama under the lights tonight, 8 o'clock. You'll see it on CBS, and, of course, we'll be covering it here all for you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I feel like last week, again, Georgia's faced adversity in each of their contests, but I feel like the adversity they faced against Tennessee was unlike any other because it came against, I think, a formidable opponent for the first time. How do you feel like they were able to answer the bell, especially in the second half? I feel like we saw a different gear that not only this defense went to, but also this offense in a way as well.
Well, it's one thing, you know, to face adversity that other people put upon you. It's another when you create your own adversity, and that's what Georgia's done this season. And, you know, that to me is going to decide the game. If Georgia creates their own adversity, I don't think they can overcome it. I don't think you can play a bad half of football offensively and beat Alabama. I just don't think that you've got the same margin for error against Alabama that you did against Arkansas and that you did against Tennessee. And while Tennessee, I think, has improved, I don't think they're on a level with Alabama. In fact, I've said this. You could combine Tennessee, Arkansas, and Auburn, and you still, I don't think, would beat Alabama. I think Alabama's number two for a reason, and I think they have a lot of talent. Today's going to be a great football game tonight.
Certainly so. You look no further than the game happening right now in Neyland Stadium, and you see a lot of the warts that are showing up now for the Volunteers. It's 27-7. Kentucky is the score right now, 3-3 quarters. As far as Stetson Bennett goes, Mike, you know, I think people have kind of wondered how long the leash is. Again, I know that the run game is what butters the bread at Georgia, but, you know, what kind of leash is on him right now, and what, if anything, would take them at least forcing the change and going to JT Daniels at any point, either in this game or during this season?
Well, first of all, I'll be really disappointed if Stetson Bennett isn't the number one Halloween costume in Georgia this year. It's really easy, folks. You just got to get the black wig and the mailman hat and a Georgia jersey and a football. This kid deserves a lot of credit. He's been a great story, a fourth-year junior that walked on, that went to junior college. It's irresistible, and I've got a lot of respect for what he's done. Now, the reality is his game is somewhat limited, but what he does well. This would be like somebody on the PGA Tour winning tournaments with a 240-yard drive, right?
Right.
He's not supposed to be able to win, but his short game, his decision-making, his poise is so good that he's been able to overcome his lack of size and arm strength. As far as the options, I don't know. You know, you saw Dwan Mathis at Arkansas. I'm not sure where they're at with Dwan in practices. I know he's continued to get the number two reps. And, you know, I think the reason JT Daniels hasn't played is I don't think he's ready. And they don't think he's ready. I mean, he's cleared, you know, but there's a difference between being cleared and being comfortable. And I do think once JT Daniels gets put in, that Georgia doesn't lose again. I do think he's all that. I'm buying in. I know a lot about this guy. I've done a lot of research. I've talked to a lot of people. The people at Tennessee that recruited him said, once Georgia plays this guy, they're not losing again. and I'm bought into that. That said, he's got to be ready. You know, he's got to be comfortable on that knee. Until then, I think you ride or die with Stetson Bennett. I think he's earned the opportunity. And think about this. If Georgia beats Alabama with a guy that was a four-string walk-on quarterback, how will the Alabama fans react to that? Not only did Georgia beat you in Tuscaloosa, they do it with a guy that was the four-stringer at the start of fall camp that no other SEC schools offered. I mean, Notre Dame's got Rudy. This Stetson Bennett story would go down in history if he can be the quarterback to take down Alabama and Tuscaloosa.
I know that you've kind of looked at this in some of your pieces for Dog Nation as kind of a house money game because you seem to think that this will be a rematch in Atlanta coming up here about 2 months from today, actually. As far as what this game does for the victor, does that put the extra bullseye on them? I mean, what does this game do for Georgia if they win it against Alabama? Does it put basically the rest of the SEC on notice?
I think the SEC's already on notice. You know, Georgia's been running roughshod through the East. I mean, they had the hiccup against South Carolina last year, but I think everybody already knows Georgia's the best team in the East and maybe the most talented team in the SEC. I think they know that Kirby's got an edge. I think they know that Kirby has a great staff now with Lanning and Munkin. Georgia can win this game and it won't matter. Georgia can lose this game and it won't matter. I mean, they're going to beat Alabama in December if JT Daniels is under center. I mean, you can take that to the bank. You know, if Alabama's going to get him, they got to get him now because Alabama's not going to get any better. They are who they are, right? That's why I picked Alabama to win because they know their identity with Najee Harris and Jalen Water and Devontae Smith and Mack. They know who they are offensively. This is as good as they're going to get, in my opinion. Georgia, on the other hand, is a team that's going to get better and better and better every week. You know, they've got four new starters on that offensive line. They've got a young backfield, a lot of young receivers. And we've talked about the quarterback situation. So, to me, it's the kaleidoscope offense. It's different at every turn with every person you plug in. This week, Trey McKitty, expect him to have a really big game at tight end. I look for 5 catches, 75 yards, and a touchdown, and a Georgia team that gets better every single week. So, I say, Georgia fans, enjoy this win, lose, or draw. You're going to be there in Atlanta. You'll get the last laugh.
You'll certainly make my colleague Randy McMichael happy with such a big output from the tight end position. One more from Mike Griffith of Dog Nation. Who on Georgia's defense has to have the best game in order to keep Bama's offense in check?
You know, the guy that hasn't gotten any credit that I think is just sensational is Azeez Ojulari. I really love what Azeez Ojulari is all about. You know, last year he was the first ever freshman captain for Kirby. He's a guy that creates havoc in the backfield. You saw him with 2 sacks against Tennessee, and including a strip sack. You know, him coming off the edge, if they can get pressure on Mack, it really improves Georgia's chances of winning. If they can get pressure without the benefit of the blitz, to me, that's the key to the game for the Georgia defense. Get that pressure, get in Mack's head, get the sacks, force some bad throws, some turnovers. To me, the team that wins the turnover battle wins the football game.
Very easy to see why this game is getting all the attention, because you have probably two of the best teams in the country going off in a very rare October matchup. Thanks so much for the time, as always, Mike. We look forward to seeing you tonight.
All right, guys. Enjoy the day.
That is Mike Griffith of Dog Nation joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline. That's a good point. I mean, I do feel like this Georgia team has the ability to improve, especially if they do make the change to Daniels. I feel like Bama has kind of maxed out their potential to this point of the season, but at the same time, their potential is still pretty darn smart and pretty darn awesome. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is where you find us, not only the radio.com app, but also across the airwaves. We'll come back and bring you the hodgepodge of stories that really all kind of fit in one box. We call that the kicker. It's how we close down the show on a Saturday. Willie P in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Willie P is in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Final segment here with me for you. We'll be back on tomorrow with the Wade Ford Tailgate Show alongside Hugh Douglas from 9 until 11. Get you ready for Falcons and Vikings at 1 o'clock, which is, of course, is here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll have a full day's worth of programming, including the tailgate show, the countdown to kickoff, the game itself, and the Falcons fly over with Thomas Mott afterwards. Updating you on the college football scoreboard, and also the Braves and Dodgers lineups are in. We'll give you those here before we get to the kicker. As Caleb mentioned, it's all over but the crying at Techwood Drive, 59-7, Clemson leading Georgia Tech. That game late third quarter, Miami 28, Pittsburgh 19, and a couple of interesting developments inside the SEC, a couple of upsets possibly brewing. South Carolina is up 27-19 on Auburn. Bo Nix has been picked for the third time, this time by J.C. Horn, and South Carolina scored on the ensuing possession to take a 27-19 lead on the Auburn Tigers. That game has less than a minute to go in the third quarter. And while Tennessee plays in a home that has checkerboard end zones, Kentucky is outmaneuvering them in chess. They're playing two different football games on the field today in Knoxville. All Wildcats, 34-7. That game has entered the fourth quarter, 34-7 in favor of Kentucky. Kentucky will go to 2-2, and kind of in a real interesting situation for them, because Tennessee looked to try and hold their own in the first half against Georgia, but of course Bulldogs blitzkrieged them in the second half last week, and now facing a home loss to Kentucky in the eyes. Again, later on tonight, it's Georgia and Alabama, Boston College, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Florida State. About an hour and 15 minutes from right now, A&M and Mississippi State. We do have the lineups for Game 6 today for the Braves and the Dodgers. Pretty boilerplate for Atlanta. Acuna, Freeman, Ozuna, the DH, Darno, Albies, and Swanson, Riley, Markakis, Pache, with Max Fried on the hill. So pretty standard lineup for them against the right-handed pitcher, Walker Buehler. It's not standard for the Dodgers. Chris Taylor will not play for them at DH. That ankle did not respond the way that they thought it would. So instead, the guy who was yesterday's hero, the catcher Will Smith, will play DH today for LA, and they will go with the man who usually serves as the personal catcher for Clayton Kershaw, Austin Barnes. He will catch and bat ninth for the Dodgers. The rest of their lineup looks pretty, again, similar to what we've seen earlier in the series. Betts, Seager, Turner, Muncy, Smith, Bellinger, A.J. Pollock in left field, Kike Hernandez at second base batting eighth, and then Austin Barnes, the catcher, batting ninth for a rematch of game one between Max Fried and Walker Buehler. Braves lead the series 3-2. A win today gives them their first National League pennant since 1999. Before we get on out of here, it's time to bring you the hodgepodge of stories that really don't fit anywhere else other than their one big happy segment. We call it the kicker.
We're talking about our kicker who got liquored up and ran his mouth off. What has the sports world come to? We're talking about kickers. He has ruined kickers for life.
I don't like the sound of them apples, Will.
I don't like it, don't like it, don't like it.
Something that I've loved over the last couple of years when watching baseball is the ability and freedom of players to celebrate more. We've seen guys like Tim Anderson of the White Sox with the bat flips. We certainly saw that also with the Padres, the Slam Diego thing. They have been more demonstrative with their celebrations, and no other team has really looked like that this postseason than the Atlanta Braves, especially Marcelo Zuna. The selfie-inspired celebrations have been pretty prominent and have garnered a lot of positive attention, I think, from Braves fans and baseball fans alike. But not everybody's happy. There's always like one in every crowd. There's always like one old dude in every crowd who has to ruin all the fun for everybody else. Well, the old dude is none other than former major league pitcher and former all-star of at least some repute, Greg Swindell, who was an all-star in 1989 and won a World Series with the Diamondbacks in 2001. Put on Twitter, he said, "This blankety blank," he used a profanity, "just stopped and took a selfie rounding third on a home run. When does this profanity stop? I'm sorry, but that's enough." Swindell then told another person that he'd hoped someone would throw at Ozuna to send a message. He also described himself as, quote, old school. Also said to Braves fans the other night, "Good night, Braves fans. I'm not a Dodger fan. I'm an old school guy, though. Fun is fun, and maybe just maybe y'all can win again and be in the World Series. Good luck. I love y'all." Listen, man, like, the old school mentality is what has driven people away from baseball. Like, throwing at guys, like, that's not That's not where baseball is in 2020. Baseball needs to garner up any kind of excitement and attention that they want in a positive manner. And I feel like people have really gravitated toward this Braves team, especially here in Atlanta, because they've shown us something that we haven't seen here in a long time. A team that's full of talent with exciting young players. It's a great meld. It's a great mix of this clubhouse. And I'm sorry, Greg Swindell, I'd rather watch them than somebody who went 123 and 122 during his career with an ERA right around 4. So sorry that you were upset by Marcell Ozuna just having fun out there. Garbage. Many are, of course, giving their own reasons as to why the Braves have done the duty over the course of the last couple of games. Well, one fan in particular has done his duty in a more sacrificial manner. Big Braves fan who is named James Wiley, he's a lawyer in town, I believe, made the road trip like many have from Atlanta to Arlington for the games that are having fans for the first time during this season. He went to Game 3, which, as you remember, was a big blowout, 15-3 at the hands of the Dodgers. Well, he had tickets also for Game number 4 and sold them. Instead, watched from nearby Arlington Live, the little live music and entertainment venue that's built next to the new ballpark in Arlington, very similar to what we have set up here in the Battery. It was done by the same people, actually. He actually did go to Game 5 of the NLDS as well at Truist Park, but the Braves, of course, did not win that Game 3, and so he sat out Game 4 and Game 5 of the NLCS as well, trying to keep the mojo going by not being in the ballpark. No clue whether or not he's going today or not, but he is certainly taking one for the team in the biggest possible way, trying to make sure that he and his superstition could lead the Braves to their first pennant in 21 years. This interesting story from the Denver Broncos. Melvin Gordon will not play tomorrow in their game against the New England Patriots. He will not travel. It's not because of what happened last week for him. He actually ended up getting a DUI and was charged with drunk driving. So he is awaiting discipline to come on that, which probably will not come for a couple of weeks. Normally the penalty there is 2 to 3 weeks. But not only did his own actions possibly sideline him in the future, but karma might have done the same, because he will not travel to New England because of a non-COVID-19 related illness. He has strep throat, apparently, according to Pro Football Talk. So there you go. I'm not saying that one has anything to do with the other, but I just like to point out karma when it actually happens. Did someone say bacon? According to the folks at Hormel Foods, they, of course, make a lot of great, awesome meats and meat products. They are selling bacon-scented personal protection masks, according to Nick Schweitzer, a senior brand manager at Hormel Bacon. The fragrant facewear, dubbed Hormel Black Label Breathable Bacon Face Masks, is the latest in pork-scented technology with 2-ply multi-fiber cloth to keep the delicious smell of bacon always wrapped around your nose. Remember the scene from The Office where Michael Scott goes, "I've always wanted to wake up with the smell of bacon," and that's when he ended up burning his foot because he stepped on his George Foreman grill. You can enter a contest at breathablebacon.com now through October 28th. For each entry, Hormel pledges to donate one meal to Feeding America for up to 10,000 meals. So enter that contest to try and win yourself a bacon-scented face mask. I do also want to point out, for those of you who were following me on Twitter, at Willie P. Style, I ate well when I was not here last weekend. I was in Indiana. We had the great St. Elmo Steakhouse food. We were there for the shrimp cocktail, which I can personally attest to you is no joke when it comes to their cocktail sauce. The most spicy cocktail sauce I've ever had in my entire life. Pretty darn good steak as well. And a pork tenderloin sandwich that brought tears to the eyes of our colleague Randy McMichael when I showed him the picture. He said, "Man, you got to bring me home one of those pork chop sandwiches." Just saying. It was as long a pork tenderloin as I'd ever seen. And let me tell you, it was bigger than the bun, if you saw the pictures at Willie P. Style. Although I found myself in a dilemma last night, or 2 nights ago. I was out with one of our colleagues in the radio station. We went to an event that was held up by a brewery in town, Three Taverns Brewery, who has a brand new space just south of town at the Imaginarium. Go check it out. But I went to Grindhouse on the way home, and I mistakenly got somebody else's order, and it wasn't their fault because they literally gave me an order that said Will P on it. It just happened to be somebody else who was named Will P, so I apologized to that person. And I, by the time I got home, it was too late to bring the food back, and they understood. But this person had a regular burger and then an impossible burger. And so I tried the impossible burger for the first time. I figured if anybody is going to make that burger taste like anything, it'd be Grindhouse. I will say it's better than expected, but not something that I'd order on my own. But their regular burger is still pretty good. So no solace there, or at least no worries there. And last but not least, a woman calls off a wedding with a ghost after he, quote, kept disappearing. This is in Britain. British woman who claims she got engaged to a ghost has now called off the wedding because he kept disappearing and started partying too much. "We've called the wedding off," she said. "He just completely changed." And that's what I leave you with on a Saturday. Woman called off a wedding with a ghost. We used to have that. We used to have that spot for internet that said "Good point, ghost." That's what you have to say, and that's a great note to leave on. Nick Cale has you next till 6 o'clock. Then Jarvis and Nitra have their first show from 6 till 7. I'll talk to you on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show tomorrow at 9. Let's see if the Falcons get in a win. Let's see if the Braves can get a win, and also let's see if Georgia can pull the upset on the Crimson Tide. I'll talk to you next week and also tomorrow. Willie P is out on a Saturday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.